Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Let's begin back in Luke chapter 1 again, beginning in verse 10. And, of course, at this point, talking about Zacharias. It says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying out at the time of incense." Now, just stopping there, that's what I just mentioned, spreading the gospel. But it says everybody was praying. Not one person, not just a select group. Everybody was praying. Brethren, prayer makes a difference. That's the reason that we use it. So pray to God. God answers prayers. And it could be we don't have certain things because we've never asked. Now, I'm talking about things that are proper to pray for, of course. But brethren, pray to God to help us to do those things that are right, to spread the gospel, and to resist evil. In verse 11, he says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, remember, this couple is older. It reminds you of a couple back in the Old Testament, doesn't it? Abraham and Sarah, that was basically under the same circumstance. And I would point this out. I think sometimes, and I'm talking about Christians, because we're the ones that should be praying to begin with. I think sometimes we as Christians limit God. God can't do that. I mean, you're asking just too much. It's not too big for God. God can accomplish all things, so use the power of prayer. At an old age, a woman, Elizabeth, has never had a child, but she's going to. So God can accomplish all things, and so we need to use that power that God has granted unto us. And verse 14, it says, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." I think I skipped a verse, and it's very important. Verse 13, it says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." He tells what the name's going to be, and I'm going to skip down to verse 15, because the name is going to be important in our study, because that's what the angel of God said to do. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before in the Spirit, in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord, the forerunner." This was mentioned in the book of Malachi as the Old Testament came to a close. There's one that's going to come, not Elijah himself, but one like him. The one that spoke with the power of the Word of God. He was guided by the Spirit. Now, brethren, also something we would notice in our time, a direct operation of the Spirit. People have that power. They had that in the first century. They were directly guided as to what to say. We don't have a direct operation today. We have the Word of God. God operates on the heart of man, the mind of God, through the Word. Not a direct operation, not a direct indwelling. He dwells through us by faith. He dwells through us by doing His will, not a direct operation of the will of God. And it says in verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and He shall go before Him in the Spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show these things, these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Here's a man of God, Zacharias. He's not going to be able to speak for a period of time till the child is born. Why? Because you didn't believe God. Even somebody that follows God. Does that happen to us? God says, I'm not going to grant you certain blessings. Why? You don't believe I can do what I told you I could do. You don't trust me as I've told you to trust me. You don't pray to me as I've told you to pray. Pray, ask, seek, knock. and these things will be granted unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, you don't believe God. And we see what right here, there's things that we miss out on when we don't believe and trust in God as we should. So brethren, pray to God, trust God, count on God, He is there for us. And brethren, God is greater than anything or anybody that there is. So believe and trust in Him. In verse 21 it says, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of the ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." What was that reproach? Didn't have a child. Now she's going to have one. She's going to be rejoicing over this. God has blessed her. Now, notice something. She is older in years. God doesn't always answer a prayer immediately. God doesn't always answer a prayer in the way that we think that it should be. Not from mind of man, but from the way that God sees is best. He knows what is good and what is best for us. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, notice what the Bible says. A virgin, not a young woman as some translations, mistranslations have, because they're, believe me, you'd have to have your head buried very deeply in the sand to think that all young women are virgins. They're not. This one is. So there's a difference in simply being just a young woman and being a virgin. And brethren, we need to take note of that God said that she's a virgin and not just a young woman. And he says to her in verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." What a blessing it is when we find favor with God. He can bless us beyond measure, beyond what anything we've ever thought. Not because we send in our money to somebody else and that says, "I'm going to send the blessings because you've sent your money to me." No, you trust God, you obey God, you live as God has instructed, and God will shower down the blessings. But sometimes we have to wait. It's not always like we would think that it would be. So be patient. But brethren, when we serve God, it is to our advantage. The world is not doing that. The world is not following God. You as Christians, you as God's people, have an advantage over the world. We need to understand that. We need to comprehend that. So don't be so tempted to go back into the world because you have to think about this. I'm going to leave what and go to what? I'm going to leave salvation. I'm going to leave God where the blessings are. I'm going to go back into the world and I'm going to be lost and lose my soul, and God wouldn't hear my prayers because I'm living in the world. So be careful when you decide, think about in your mind, "I'm just going to quit." You're going from what to what? Be careful that you don't make a very bad exchange, to say the least. In verse 31 it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, they're going to do exactly what they've been told. John's name is going to be called John, not something else. Jesus' name is going to be called Jesus, even down to the name. It's going to be exactly like God said. Now, let's stop and think about something for a moment. We see so many things, and instrumental music will be one of them. The Lord's Supper on Saturday night or some other day will be another one of them. What difference does it make? We all serve God. We all love God. Even the name was exactly like God had said that it would be. No man has a right to change a single thing that God has said. It must be exactly like the Lord has said. We don't have the right to change anything pertaining to God's Word. We must do everything that He has said according to the way that He has said it. And when somebody says, well, you go to heaven your way and I'll go mine, you need to look at scriptures like this. You need to look at examples like Noah and the ark and how everything was done according to the pattern, according to as God had said. Verse 32, and he shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The kingdoms of many people, of many countries, have come and they have gone. And America better be careful or we'll lose one too. But God's got a son that has a kingdom, and it is the church. The church and the kingdom being the same, and there will be no end to this kingdom. Nobody will be able to overcome it. And brethren, what a privilege it is to be a part of the kingdom. Sometimes people feel like they have prestige because they're part of this group or that group, around this person or that person. We are part of the kingdom of God. What a blessing that God has bestowed upon us that we should be a part of this kingdom. In verse 34 it says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary said, how can this happen? How can this take place? I'm not married. And now she was not married, and she was faithful. Remember, she's a virgin. She didn't live like the world did. She lived differently than what the world did. She's a virgin, so how's this going to happen? I'm not married yet. You let God take care of that. You leave that in God's hands, and then God will take care of it. And verse 36 says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Question, do you believe what God said? Do we have doubt sometimes? How do we overcome our doubts? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we strengthen our faith. Well, sometimes I have doubts. Go to the Word of God and read it. Go to God in prayer. Pray for strength. And go to the Word of God and see where God has always done what He said that He would do. What has God promised us? Put the kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6, I'll take care of you, Jesus said. Put the kingdom first. All these things shall be added unto you. You won't have to go looking for something to eat. God will always provide it. You won't have to beg for bread. God will take care of you. It may not always be steak, but God will provide. Nothing is impossible with God. Have we limited God in our minds? Well, there's heaven, yes, and there's a God, but in our minds, we can't see that certain things can be accomplished. And sometimes we, in our minds, limit God. But God is not limited. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things by myself. No, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's the source of our power. There's the source of our strength. Now, if you try to go it alone, if you try to do it by yourself, count on failing. Because you're going to have some limitations, and you're going to find out that you have them rather quickly. But trust in God, and nothing is too big, too hard, too difficult for God. He can accomplish all things. And brethren, there's so much more that we could do if we would put our trust in God and not in man. Here's something that happens in a lot of congregations. Now the certain part I see that the disgust I can understand and discouragement sometimes, but in so many congregations, a preacher, either he quits or he gets fired, and maybe there's some bad circumstances. Well, they just quit. Their trust was in a man. They need to trust God, not a man. If a man quits, you shouldn't quit unless that's where you put your trust. Make sure that your trust is in God where it belongs. In verse 38 it says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country in haste into the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Notice what she did. She kept on going. She didn't say, that's not going to happen. This is too big for God. She didn't doubt. She kept on going. But brethren, there's some very important things here in this next verse. And we need to know them. Verse 41 says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," what's this say? "The babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." The babe did what? What we would say today, we don't know. You can't tell when it's a baby. You can't tell when it's a child. The blob of tissue bounced around. The fetus. No, the babe leaped in her womb. 50 million children have been butchered since Roe versus Wade was penned into law. Now, first off, let me be plain. The tragedy in Arizona was exactly that, and that man deserves the death penalty for what he's done. Period. And that was, some people say the death penalty doesn't work. That's a bunch of baloney. I've never seen anybody that had the death penalty actually served that ever did another crime. That stopped crime. That stopped the overcrowded problem too, now wouldn't it? And if you don't believe that God endorses those things, look at Romans chapter 13. He talks about the sword, and those governments have been given the power to wield it against evil. But the babe leaped in her womb. So the next time somebody comes up, well, you can't know, you can't tell. You can if you believe the Bible. You can tell it's a babe, and it leaped in her womb. Now, I have a question. I think everybody here without exception would say, yes, what happened in Arizona was a tragedy. But I have a question for you. All right, let's advance. It's 2012 and it's election. But it's not going to be Arizona this time. And let's come up with a fictitious. It's going to get a little bit closer. It'll be Texas. And if you vote for this man or this woman, well, the governor of Texas is going to be shot by some man or some woman that goes berserk. Well, I don't endorse that. I support this and I support that, but I don't endorse that part of it. Yes, you do. If you know plainly that's what they're doing and you send them there anyway, you did endorse it. And who says that the life of one is more valuable than the next? And you can take a baby and throw them in a dumpster and nothing bothers you. Brethren, God will hold us accountable for these things. The babe leaped in her womb. And we as God's people, we need to stand against that which is wrong. And quit cowering down to the enemy. We are God's people. Let us stand up and act like it. And brethren, we should be standing united. Anybody that supports abortion, homosexuality, we should be against it. Period. And yes, we talked this morning about some people, sometimes we'll wait for you to end the hallway when you've preached a certain sermon, let them wait. So be it. I'm still going to preach the Word of God because it is right. The babe leaped in her womb, not the blob of tissue. So when you see people that get on the news, well, you just can't know, but they're so good, they've got an economic policy, and boy, they can make things better with Russia, with working things out with our foreign policy. Who cares if they're so ungodly and such a degenerate? And brethren, we've got plenty of them in office now, don't we? Those that don't care about life. Those that could care less. Well, but which party are you talking about? Now, when I was praying the prayer just a moment ago, I hope that you were listening, number one. But I prayed and we were leading a prayer together. Some wouldn't say amen to that prayer. Some that normally say amen out loud, they wouldn't say amen to that prayer. But now, what was the prayer? God, those that will not stand for that which is right, those that support abortion, those that support homosexuality, let them be replaced. I'm not saying amen to that. But which party was mentioned? It was mentioned anybody that does that. I'm not saying amen to that. You know why? Because we have elevated our politics over God, over our Christianity. And we don't care what happens as long as we think somebody can put money in my pocket. Well, let me ask you a question. What's your price? How much would it take? How much would it cost for you to stand for that which is right? Brethren, if you support those things and those people, you need to repent. Period. And I'll go to my grave. I don't know when that will be, but I will go to my grave preaching these things because the Word of God upholds them. Homosexuality is wrong. The murder of the innocent children is wrong. And you can't justify it. We can stand here from now to doomsday and you'll never justify it and you'll never find one verse that you can offer in defense of it. And I've asked person after person that disagrees, give your verse. I'll give you mine. I'll give you a list of them. Give me yours. They haven't come up with one yet. There's a reason they haven't. They don't have any. And I would hate to know that I was so afraid that, this person's my party, or this person's of my race, and I've got to support them, or I can't vote against them, that I'm going to support something that's ungodly. You need to repent, and you need to quit putting yourself before God, and quit putting yourself in the place of God, and stand for that which is right. Brethren, we need to do that which is right, and it doesn't matter who's on the other end, and sometimes if it's our own brethren, we need to still stand for that which is right. It's a shame, but we can't say amen to a prayer because we're afraid of a political party. Which party is above God? Which one party is above being a Christian? There's not any of them. Brethren, let's put God in His place. God deserves first place in everything that we do. Verse 42 says, And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to be, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Oh, it said it again. Well, we don't know. You may not know. You may be confused. You may need to talk in circles for 30 minutes. I understand that. I passed kindergarten. I can understand what that verse means. It's a baby. And it leaped. I can understand that. You don't know? Doesn't mean the rest of us don't. We can understand what that verse says. In verse 45 it says, And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. She trusted God, and God delivered her. Brethren, God will do the same thing for us today if we will put our trust in Him and do that which is right. Regardless of what family, friends, or unfaithful members of the body of Christ may say, still do that which is right. And brethren, if we'll do that, it will be enough. But brethren, if we're so enamored in those things of the world that they stop us from doing right, we will lose our soul. And on the day of judgment, you won't stand before the Lord and say, Yeah, but Lord, you know, no, you won't be doing any of that. You'll be hearing these words, Depart, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. This evening, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one tonight. Not wait any longer. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not a Christian, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're an unfaithful child of God, perhaps you've supported those that have been committing murder and there's blood on your hands. You need to repent while there's still time and while there's still opportunity.